We've enjoyed baptism. We've enjoyed communion. We have worshiped the Lord with beautiful songs, and now we will enjoy the preaching of the Word. Welcome to church. Brother Dave has selected very beautiful songs for us to sing, and he played them beautifully, and you sang them beautifully. And music is a wonderful gift from God. Music is supposed to be used to bring Him honor and glory. And even though those songs that Brother Dave selected were beautiful and are beautiful, there are far more beautiful songs that we have been given, and it is the Book of Psalms. 150 of the most beautiful songs. And it is my awesome privilege in this Old Testament survey to have come to this amazing point in this sermon series. I will tell you personally that when I decided to do an Old Testament survey, I couldn't wait for this moment. The Psalms are so beautiful. The Psalms are so amazing. And I trust that by God's grace, I can show you just how beautiful they are. Would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 1? And stand with me as we read. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would open your hearts and allow you to see the awesome beauty of the Book of Psalms? Would you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and allow them to see the awesome beauty of the Book of Psalms? Would you pray now for me, that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who wrote these Psalms would help me to introduce them to you today. Gracious Heavenly Father, speak to us and change our hearts today. May we understand in a deeper more accurate way how beautiful you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Psalm 1 says this: how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Isn't that a powerful psalm? Isn't that a powerful psalm? Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by a stream. He bears fruit. He doesn't wither. He prospers. What a great truth to be reminded of as we open the book of Psalms. How blessed is the man or the woman, sisters, who delights in the law of the Lord. In your notes, number one, the Psalms help us pray. The Psalms help us pray. The Psalms give us a voice. Number two in your notes, the Psalms help us express ourselves to God. Often when I am reading the Psalms, and I read the Psalms very, very often, when I am reading the Psalms, I just make them my prayer. It's worded better than I could ever word it. So as I read the Psalms, I just make the exact words my prayer to God. Just like Job, the Psalms lift me up out of my circumstances, up into the presence of Almighty God. The Psalms lift my mind and my heart up to dwell in the presence of Almighty God. The Psalms remind me of the greatness of God. The Psalms keep my mind and heart where they belong, worshiping and adoring God. The Psalms declare the greatness of God. The Psalms declare the love of God, the mercy of God, the holiness of God, the grandeur of God, the majesty of God, and the Psalms declare the splendor of God. Trinity Baptist Church, I've urged you. Every time we come to an Old Testament book, I say, read the book on your own. Read the book on your own. Read the book on your own. The Psalms are different. It is not nearly enough for you to go home and read it cover to cover and be done. The Psalms are different. You need to read the Psalms every day for the rest of your life. Turn with me to Psalm 6. Listen to this beautiful psalm. Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Tom, do you have Psalm 6 on the screen? There you go. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. My soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. You can pray this way, Trinity Baptist. Have you ever looked up to God and said, God, because of your loving kindness, save me? You can pray that way. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They shall suddenly be ashamed. Do you see how the psalm gives you a voice and helps you pray? The psalms help us express our emotions to God, but they don't leave us there. Number three in your notes. The psalms lift us up out of despair into hope. Hope in God. The psalms lift us up out of despair into hope. Hope in God. You can just pray the psalm back to God. If you read a psalm every day, brothers and sisters, please listen. If you read a psalm every day, you will be amazed how often that psalm expresses the prayer of your heart. I read the one-year Bible. You know that. I've said that. The one-year Bible gives you Old Testament, New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb every single day. I've been doing it for 20 years. I am amazed every single time I get to the psalm, I read that psalm, it is the prayer of my heart. And when it's the prayer of our heart, it gives you so much encouragement. Number four in your notes. The Psalms declare the glory of God and keep our minds and hearts worshiping Him. The Psalms declare the glory of God and keep our minds and hearts worshiping Him. Turn with me just one page, probably, to Psalm 8. Listen to this. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? The son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God. And you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Trinity Baptist, because of our sinful flesh, because of all the distractions of this world, our minds and hearts do not dwell on the greatness of God. We are a distracted people. We worry about other things. We worry about other people. We love other things. We think about other things. We set our affections on other things and other people. Reading the Psalms keeps your mind where it belongs, on God. It keeps your heart loving God, honoring God, worshiping God, adoring God. The Psalms keep your mind and heart where they should be. Read them every day. Read them every day. And brothers and sisters of Trinity, if you read the whole Bible, you will see how the whole thing fits together. This psalm is no different. Those of you that have read the book of Hebrews know about Psalm 8. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 behind me on the screen. For he, that is God, did not subject to angels the world to come. The writer of Hebrews is comparing angels to the Lord Jesus. And he says this, for he, that is God, did not subject to angels the word to come, concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man, that you remember him, or the son of man, that you are concerned about him? You have made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. The writer of Hebrews is quoting Psalm 8 to teach us about the Lord Jesus. Look, we're back in Hebrews now. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. Who's he talking about? Look. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. As we read the whole Bible, it all fits together. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't understand the Bible. The more you read it, the more you'll understand it. Look at Psalm 18 with me. Beautiful, beautiful psalm of praise. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of the ungodly terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry for help before his ears. Incredible, incredible psalm. Incredible psalm. The Hebrew word fortress is the word masada. Masada. In Israel, there is a huge fortress. In English, we pronounce it masada. David is writing this, and he says, the Lord is my masada. Look at Psalm 19. Look at Psalm 19. And notice how beautiful it is if you step outside on a beautiful night when you can see the stars and you open up the book of Psalms and it says the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You see how beautiful the psalm declares the glory of God and helps you worship God. You go out on a starry night, or you go out on a hike, or you behold some beautiful item of God's creation, and you read the psalm, and it helps you worship God. Psalm 22 is one of the most special psalms. Turn to Psalm 22. An incredible, incredible poetic and incredible psalm. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do those words sound familiar? Those are the very words of our Lord Jesus that he shouted on the cross. Far from my deliverances are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Look at verse 7. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with a lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. If you've read the whole Bible, you know that this is exactly what the mockers said to Jesus on the cross. And you read the New Testament, and you read Psalm 22, and it's constantly reminding you of the crucifixion. Look at Matthew 27 on the screen. You can stay in Psalm 22 in your Bible that you have in front of you. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 22, verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones, they look, they stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Isn't that incredible? You read Psalm 22, and you are instantly reminded of the crucifixion of our beautiful, glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And if you doubt, if you think I'm stretching it, if you think I'm imagining it, if you think I'm making this up, look behind me on the screen at the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his outer garments, made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but let's cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be. The Apostle John says this, this was to fulfill the Scripture. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. John is, what Scripture? John is referring to Psalm 22. Luke 24 says this, record the words of the Lord Jesus. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you. This is after the resurrection. Jesus is talking. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Psalm 22. The psalm of the cross. Charles Spurgeon believes, and this is just his opinion, pretty good guy though, Charles Spurgeon believes Jesus read Psalm 22. Jesus recited Psalm 22 on the cross. Turn to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. It flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. If you read the Psalms on a regular basis, your knowledge of God will increase. How important is that? If you read the Psalms on a regular basis, your knowledge of God will increase. In your notes, look at the next blank. The Psalms help you know God better. The Psalms help you know God better. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of books written about God. You don't need them. The Psalms tell you the truth about God.
Read.
Some of those books are really good, but the Psalms are perfect. Look at Psalm 42. If you're worried about me getting to Psalm 150, let me just tip my hand to you right now. Brother Mike Crace will be giving us Isaiah. And Isaiah is 66 chapters of prophecy. I've done Genesis in one Sunday. That's 50 chapters of story. I've done Law into Job, 42 chapters of poetry and story. But when I asked Mike to do Isaiah, he came to me and he said, you know, wow, one Sunday. And I said, Mike, if it takes two, it takes two. I am going to extend myself the same grace. We're not going to finish Psalms today, so just relax. Psalm 42. Listen to this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember. I pour out my soul within me. I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. In your notes, the Psalms help us worship. The Psalms help us worship. Number 7. The Psalms declare the praises of God and give us beautiful words of adoration to express to God. Have you ever been praying and you want to explain to God how much you love Him and you just can't find the words? You should experience that. You have the Psalms. Open the book of Psalms, and there the words are given to you to express your heartfelt adoration to God. This is one reason that we are so committed to the One Hope Project. As you know, the goal of the One Hope Project is to give a Bible to every persecuted Christian. Right now, around the world, your brother or your sister is without food, without clothes, without shelter. Having been kicked out of their family, perhaps they lost their job, they might even be in prison. All because they have declared their love for Jesus Christ. And they don't have their own Bible. They don't have their own Bible. How great would it be if tomorrow morning they could open up that Bible to Psalm 42 and open it up and say, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." How great would it be for your brother or your sister to be able to read that this morning? Number 8 in your notes. The Psalms help us express our love to the one we love so much. Turn to Psalm 63. God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praise as with joyful lips. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. We search for satisfaction in so many other things. We search for satisfaction in so many other people. The prophet Jeremiah told the people of Israel, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and gone after other cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." The Psalms keep your affections where they belong. God alone will satisfy your soul. Turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The streams of God are full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year of your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. God is good. Look at number 8 in your notes, please, or number 9. The Psalms will help you enjoy God and adore Him forever. The Psalms will help you enjoy God and adore Him forever. And finally, number 10, you should read at least one Psalm every day. You should read at least one Psalm every day. Trinity Baptist Church, God loves you so much. He is so awesome. He is holy. He is beautiful. He is majestic. He is splendid. No matter who you are, you have underestimated Him. No matter who you are, you have underestimated Him. He is better than you thought He was. He is more powerful than you thought He was. His holiness is purer than you ever thought possible. His knowledge, His understanding, His wisdom is greater. His love and mercy and grace are more abundant and more deep than you ever thought it was. God is awesome. And the Psalms teach us this. And maybe you are here this morning and you don't know this God. You're living apart from this God. You're living your life apart from Him. God loves you. And He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you, but your sin has prevented you from that relationship. Your sin has separated you from Him. We read in Psalm 22, the Lord Jesus died on a cross because He loves you. Because He loves you so much. And no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done in life, He wants to have a relationship with you. The cross is enough to pay for any sin you have done. Amen. Will you please come and talk to the elders afterwards? We want you to know how you can be forgiven. We want you to know how you can have a relationship with God. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are the best of everything. You are also the best poet. And we pray that we would read the Psalms every day and you would help us to adore you as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.